We're going to consider for a short time this afternoon a concept that many times is used in software development and particularly in database development. And the concept is called the GIGO effect. And when you think about the GIGO effect, what that refers to is garbage in, you get garbage out. And when you think about the information that you put into this software or whatever it is you're using, if you put garbage information into that, you cannot get something useful out. And it's the same with our minds and with our spirits. If all we choose to put into our lives and into our minds is garbage, there's nothing positive that's going to come from that. Now, I'll put a disclaimer on this right now. As long as we have the free will given to us by God, people are going to make decisions. And those decisions that are around us, made by others, can have an effect on us. And it doesn't matter if we make all the right decisions in the world, if at times when someone makes bad decisions around us, we can feel the effects of that. And furthermore, we'll see that good people, because of that, face bad situations or circumstances. And I don't want to remove that at all, but I want to talk about the responsibility that we have, the responsibility that we can take upon ourselves to help that effect or those consequences that come to us. In John 10, verses 10 and 11, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they that might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." Christ points out here that he gave his life to make that possible, that we might have something better to hope for. And because of that, he wants us to have a good life, and he has something prepared for us in the future, after this life. But in our present life, he wants us to have a good life. Now, there are times when people take that and they misconstrue that and they turn it into something that it's not. And they may choose to do things in their life and make choices in their lives that have adverse effects on themselves, claiming that God would want them to be happy. And we've all seen it. It's a sad situation. People claim that whatever this situation is, they say that that's what they need to do in order to be happy. And as a result, God would be okay with that, because that's what would make them happy. Unfortunately, that doesn't negate the fact that there are consequences associated with our decisions. And we'll feel the effects of those. In Philippians 4, verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." You know, when we think of these things, we think about the environment that we surround ourselves in. And to a certain extent, that environment that we choose to be in is the result of the choices that we make. I choose to be around certain people. I choose to be in certain environments and in certain places. I choose the things that I choose to put into my life. All of those make up my environment. Those choices, as a result, determine the outcome of what I'll experience in life. Do we have control over these things? Certainly we do, to a certain extent. Now, I can't choose that I'm going to go to a job and everybody there is going to have a godly mind and everybody's going to be exactly make the choices that they should in life. That's not reality. But in my free time, when I have control over the places that I go and the people I surround myself with, in my home, I choose not to do certain things or to allow certain things into that environment. That certainly is a choice of mine. And certain things will come from the choices that I make there, whether they be good or adverse effects. What will we do with those things he gives us? Will we put those things in so that they are the things that come out? That's ultimately what he would have from us in order for us to be happy. That statement certainly is true, that God would want us to be happy, but that will be according to what his will is. Will we have those things come out so that we can have the life that he would want for us? In Matthew 7, verse 13, We read there, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many but there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. Now, if you think about that as a path, you think about water running down a hill. What path does that water take? You know, many times we learn that early on in school. It takes the path of least resistance, doesn't it? Does living the life of a Christian, does that allow us to take that path of least resistance? No, it doesn't. The broad way and the wide path, that's the path that's easy to take. And if we choose not to make certain decisions in our life and we choose to let life happen to us rather than us living life, that is the path that we will result in. The wide gate, the broad way, the path that leads to destruction. You see, I think over the years, you know, I don't think out of an intent to do it, but in many ways, the Christian life from the concept of others has become a path that tends to happen to people. Everything we study about and everything that Christ taught us, it was a life of action. It was things that it was expected of us. It was things that we were to do. And you think, you know, the golden rule, I'll take that as an example. We take that. Most of us know that. Do unto the others as you would have them do unto you. What if we turn that into these days? Don't do to anybody anything you wouldn't want them to do to you. Don't do. But if you actually look at that passage, it's a passage of action. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's not something that we're supposed to let happen to us. It's something that we're supposed to do and to interact with others in a way that we would have them interact with us. In Luke 22 and verse 4, "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation." You think Christ knew that the road to destruction was the easy way out? The Christian life is not the easy way out. And we have to understand that. If you want to live the Christian life, it's not going to be the easy way. You know, I had a coach one time, he told us, he said, "If you want the easy way out, go lay in the gutter. Be like the drunk. Take that easy way out." But he said, "You'll soon find it is not that easy." And too many times when we see what God teaches us in Christ's example, it goes against those things. And we see what may seem like easy, taking that path of least resistance, bouncing from one place to another with no direction in our lives. Does that turn out to actually be the easy way? All of the consequences that come with those bad decisions, is that really the easy way? Is that the way we want in our lives? God would want us to be happy, wouldn't he? Yet we continue to make choices and decisions that take us down that road. That's not the life he would have from us. Those are not the consequences he would want us to face. He would want us to do what's right. In Psalms 37 and verse 9, it says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Got behind on my notes here. Evildoers shall be cut off. Those that wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. It's about focus. What are we focused on? Where do we place that focus? We all understand that the fleshly body is the weak link in the chain, don't we? That fleshly side of us that's drawn to those things that are against God. You know, he expects us to keep that in check. He expects us to have control over that fleshly side. And the things we study, we see over and over and over. Well, that's an expectation that he has of us. And it's something that we'll fight our entire lives, I believe. It's not something I think will ever come easy to us. There will be something in our lives that appeals to that fleshly side that we will have to keep in check. How much time do we put into God? You know, there's a saying that says, "Play to win, don't play not to lose." You look at your Christian life, do you play to win or do you play not to lose? You know, teams that play not to lose typically do just that. They lose. And when we go through the motions in our Christian life, we may do things. We may do the right things. We may have the time with our family. We may come here and we may come to church and we may sit in this pew. We may do all of those things right. But if that's all we're doing and that's all our spirituality consists of, We're playing not to lose. He wants us to play to win, to have control over the things that we do, have control over that fleshly side of our body, make the right decisions for us and for our families so we can have the consequences He would have for us in our lives. You know, we often read a passage that tells us what to put in and to avoid things in this world. And it's one we've read many times in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Begin in verse 10, it says, be strong in the Lord. Is that a statement that tells us it's going to be easy? We're going to face things in life, and we're going to make choices at those points. Or we're going to choose to stand with God, or we're going to take the easy way out. You know, we possess the strength in the Lord, so it comes out in times when we need it. That's the times that we decide. We decide what we're going to do in those situations in the current time, because too many times we get in situations and we see that easy way out. And that's when it becomes tempting for us to make that wrong decision. In verse 13, it says, take the whole armor of God. Not part of it. It never tells us go out with one piece or another. It tells us take it all. Take it all. You know, we'll omit the analogies there for the next few verses. It says truth. Having that truth. A truth grounded on God's word and constantly reaffirmed through study. Righteousness. Do what's right and do it for the right reason. Preparation of the gospel of peace. Know why you have the hope that is in Christ and be prepared to share that with others. Faith. This is all encompassing. It's why we choose to live a certain way. It's how we deal with the trials of life. It's how we wake in the morning. It's everything to do with our Christian life and how we choose to serve God is encompassed by our faith. Salvation. He's described as a head covering. It's our focus on Christ and the gift He's given us. The Word of God, a proactive way for us to know what He wants from us and to do it. And then finally, prayer, a recurring characteristic that we should have to be prayerful, an opportunity to take God and ask for guidance. All of these things, seven things in one passage that He gave us to put in our lives so that we could get the things out of life that we want to happen. You know, everybody wants that good consequence, don't they? They want to have that good life. They want the peace that it talks about. But in the preparation for all of those things and the choices that they make in all the things, many times they don't make those right decisions to set them up to have that peace in life. And I'm not going to say that's the case in every instance. You know, there are times when people face adverse situations, and we talked about that in the beginning. Sometimes that happens. But overall, if we want to have that peace that he talks about, we've got to do these things. We've got to put these things in our lives and for our families and for those around us and be an influence on others so that they can see those things and those things can come out in their lives. So in this passage, we have seven things in this one short passage that can help us do that. In Matthew 5 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." You know, Matt read that this morning. And so many of those things in that passage are counterintuitive. We look at that and say, how in the world Could you be happy or blessed through those things? Those are the things that are expected to come out of us. We're expected to have that reaction to those things. And without that whole armor of God, these won't be the attitudes. The two work it hand in hand. We have to have both. In Matthew 12 and verse 35, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. This passage discusses the very concept that we're talking about this afternoon. But concentrate this morning or this afternoon on the positive aspect of this passage. Good in, good out. We want to put those things that God would have us put into our lives so that we get out of it what He would want for us. We have to offset the influences of this world, don't we? You know, just like we talked about, we don't always go to an office or a job where everybody just does everything the way that God would have them to do. You know, for some other people, that's just not their priority. That's just not the life that they choose. And we'll have to deal with that. But we need to, in our personal lives, put these things in so that we can overcome when we're faced with those situations that may have that influence on us. In James 1 and verse 21, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You know, this verse is very plain, and it's very plain put away those influences which will only bring pain and suffering in the end. Be influenced by the things that lead you to salvation. We will not only have a prize in heaven, but a life on this earth with fewer heartaches. The things that He teaches us from His scriptures, there's nothing in there that's going to lead us to heartache. We need to do the things that He asks us to do so that we can have that life that He wants for us. If all we do is allow life to happen to us, that garbage is going to come into our lives. And what comes out of our lives is going to be garbage as well. We'll face consequences based on those decisions.